Now, I've got a message here that will give you peace and happiness. Boy, them two words go over with anybody. Everybody wants peace. You can't be happy unless you have peace. Happiness is always built in an atmosphere and in a climate, in an environment of peace. You can't be happy without peace. A Christian can't be happy without peace. That's the first thing the Lord gives to a person when we get our sins under the blood and submit to His word and will. Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first tangible evidence that you have that you got saved. If you're reaching for some feeling, that's what the first thing you reach for and say, oh, I feel peaceful. Well, that's it. That's when it comes in. It's when you feel that peace comes in like a river. We're an example to everybody. But there's somebody we're going to affect, and perhaps your own family is going to be the ones that's going to have the greatest effect of the radiations that you are radiating. All of us radiate something. We radiate out faith and hope, and we radiate nobility and sweetness and gentleness and kindness and affection. Or if we don't, we're radiating morbidness and distrust and a lot of other, 100 other qualities that we could perhaps dig around and find. But I'll tell you one thing, we need our radiations to be, whenever we have put our faith and trust in God, then God says, all right, I saved you to be an example. I saved you to project an image. I saved you to be a pattern. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, these scriptures are some of the ones that perhaps you're most familiar with here in the ministry. For those that hear this on cassette, 1 Timothy 4 may be a new revelation. Beginning in verse 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. You know the only way a young man or woman's ever going to get right and stay right and be a strong example for the Lord is to have a father and mother in the Lord. You're not going to make it. You're going to be a stumbling, bumbling, dagwood type Christian that's always, always in error, always full of mistakes, always failing, always coming a dollar short and a day late. There's always something wrong. Listen, God don't want us like that. Paul said here, you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know, one of the things that happens to us when we get saved, the Lord gives us fathers and mothers in the Lord. Now, I don't mean everybody in the Lord is a father and mother, because they're not. Most of them are children. Because that's what the Bible said He puts fathers and mothers for, that we don't be henceforth children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. They're to keep us from cunning craftiness, whereby men lie in wait to deceive us. They're to speak the truth in love, so we can grow up into Him and all things which is ahead, even Christ. That's what fathers and mothers are for. My Lord, we need security. We need care. We need concern. We need people like the Apostle Paul. He said in verse 17 then, in 1 Corinthians 4, he said, for this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Here he's got a son in the faith. Praise God. Listen to these things. 1 Timothy 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son in the faith. Paul was a father. He fathered many a young man that he made an example and a pattern out of. All right, listen to this. Is this one we just gave to you? 1 Corinthians 4:15, you have not many fathers. In Judges 5:7, the scripture, Deborah says, I arose a mother in Israel. There was a mother in Israel. We need more mothers, godly, God-fearing women who will be examples, who will be a pattern. and who will take the responsibility of being a mother in Israel here in our end time. My God, we need mothers in the Lord. So many women today in the church, they want to be a sex pod, or they want to dress sexily, or they want to, God have mercy, they want to be so much like the world, they don't want to be considered a mother and father. I want to take some of you young mothers and young men and women and make mothers and fathers out of you. You give up all them illusions to pleasure and all of that mess that goes along with the flesh and say, hey, John and Sarah here, we're going to be a mother and a father in the Lord and cut out this stinking wanting to be like the world and be glamour boys and a man and a woman, all that mess. You don't have to be real old to be a mother and father in the Lord if you settle down and sober up. All right, in 2 Kings 13 and verse 14, the king of Israel, Jehoram, came to Elisha. And Elisha was dying. The Bible said in that scripture said Elisha fell sick of an illness whereof he died. And the king of Israel came to him. And he stood up over him and said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Let me tell you, Elisha was a father in Israel to other men and the families that he shepherded, that he cared for, that he stood guard over. As Paul the Apostle made the comment in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 1, he said, I would that you could bear with me in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so you should so soon be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. He guarded zealously and jealously those people in those churches that Paul himself had gone around and been a father to. He stood guard over them. He was their security. He cared for them naturally. He wasn't doing it for their money. My God, he said again and again, don't you see these hands? I've worked for my own necessities. Says, you ought to take care of me, but I wouldn't make myself burdensome to you. And I henceforth I'll still not. For parents ought to lay up for their children and not the children for the parents. That's in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it's verse 13. God needs fathers and mothers, ministers and their wives. They're the ones that ought to be the first examples and then teach others to be those examples. He said, I've sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who will bring you into remembrance of my ways. Now, Timothy wasn't his blood son, he was his son through the blood of Jesus. And that made him closer than a son would have been. All right, I want to show you some things here in Philippians. He goes on here about this same particular thing that I'm speaking about here about Timothy. In Philippians 2, in verse 19, he said, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. They are just after your money. That's what 99% of the preachers in America today are after only is money. And the popularity and the affluence and the prestige and the possessions and everything that comes through it. And I'd stand before them and testify if they cut my head off the next moment. All right, he said, you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I see how it will go with me. Praise God.